Hey, hey, it's Christina K here, bringing you the third episode of season two of our top 10 rated podcast for authors, Write Your Best Book. Okay, folks, I have to admit, I'm totally having a fangirl moment right about now. In case you happen to land on this episode and you pushed play without seeing who I sat down with this week, you're in for a super big treat. Remember that book we all learned about a couple years ago from Reese Witherspoon's book club list? You know, the one that actually blew Gone Girl out of the proverbial water with its awesomeness and, not to mention, actually likable characters? The Last Mrs. Parrish became an international bestseller. And when my friend recommended that I read it several times, I devoured it in 3 days, flat. Well, what you might not know about this great book is that the author, Liv Constantine, is actually a sisterly writing duo whose names are Lynn and Valerie. Are you floored? Yeah, I was too. Lynn and Valerie are the perfect writers to discuss this week's topic with me, which just so happens to be all about co-authoring fiction. I think it's natural for most authors to at least have the thought cross their mind about co-authoring a book, especially if they have a good writerly friend or a good writerly family member. And from experience, I can tell you, it's really fun to brainstorm ideas with people you love who also happen to love writing. Considering that I come from a family where my sister and my mother are both fiction writers, I've just always thought the idea sounded so appealing. But co-authoring a book is not quite as easy as it sounds. And if not done properly, or if one dives into it without first learning all the ins and outs, guys, it can spell disaster, either for the project or for your personal relationship. And we don't want that. I'll give you an example. About 2 years ago, I was determined to co-author a book, but I didn't want to do this with just any writer. I wanted to find one whose skill level was similar to mine, who wrote in the same genre, and who was a friend, but not a longtime best friend or relative, just in case it went wrong. And almost instantly, I landed on my former client and good writing buddy, Casey Dunn, who also writes dark suspense. I chose her because specifically I needed someone gifted at writing the voice of an antagonist, which is not my strongest suit, but it is hers. And in her book, Silence on Cold River, Casey masters this crucial voice. Side note, I actually was Casey's editor and coach for this book, and she went on to land an agent and a book deal all in less than 6 months after we finished working together on her book. Anyway, long story short, we thought we had a method sorted out. I would take the voice of the female protagonist and she would take the voice of the male antagonist. We managed to get about 2-3 chapters in before I began to realize, mostly because of my own ego, that if we kept going, eventually, somebody, likely me, somebody's feelings would get hurt. Maybe we were too similar and that was the issue. I don't know. We never had any arguments, but I could feel it coming. Whatever it was, I decided that my relationship with her was much more important than my desire to co-author a book. Even with that experience behind me, though, it's still on my writer's bucket list. That's why I was so interested in covering this topic on my podcast. I know I'm not the only author out there who has the desire to co-write a book, but not the know-how. So this week, we're discussing how the process of co-authoring works with two of the most talented, super generous, and kind authors I've had the privilege of meeting so far. As mentioned earlier, Lynn and Valerie make up the writing duo Liv Constantine, and they're here this week to discuss not only the logistics of how two writers can come together on a book project, but also how to do it effectively, successfully, and also how to maintain your relationship throughout the process. Well, let's just get right down to it. It's my absolute honor and privilege to bring you the author duo behind Liv Constantine, Lynn and Valerie. Okay, guys, welcome back to the Write Your Best Book podcast. What we're on, I think, third episode of the season. This is so exciting, you guys. I've got the authors behind Liv Constantine and the books you know so well, The Wife Stalker, The Last Mrs. Parrish. There's so many. There's got three great books out, and we're here to talk to them today about co-authoring fiction. So let's start first, ladies. Whoever wants to go first, Valerie, Lynn, whoever, let's start by telling my listeners a little more about you, your writing journeys, and the books that you've written together so far.
All right, I'll start. I'm Valerie, and it's great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us today. We were excited. You know, in this time of social isolation, it's really great to see a new face and to meet people. And yeah, it's exciting. And a reason to comb your hair and put makeup on and get dressed, right?
I agree with that one.
Yeah. So we actually began our writing journey together over 20 years ago with a book that we wrote that was more of an ethnic look at a Greek family. And so we completed that book, as I said, over 20 years ago. And then life intervened for both of us in between there. And we did a little bit of freelance writing here and there. But for the most part, Lynn was raising twins and homeschooling them. And I was doing, I was working in ministry. And then I was also doing a lot of philanthropic work. And about, I guess, 7 years ago, we decided that we would like to collaborate again. And we began. And so from that time until now, I feel like 80% of my time is spent writing. And as I was telling you before the podcast started, now I feel like 80% of my time is taking care of a new puppy and my adult dog, right? Yes. And so that sort of sums up me right now.
Okay, Lynn? Let's hear from you.
Sure. So I'm Lynn. Yes, as Valerie said, it was about 7 or 8 years ago that we both got back into writing full time. And our first new collaboration under Liv Constantine was The Last Mrs. Parrish, which actually sort of came about as more of a fun thing to write after just a discussion that we had. And we got this idea and we wrote the book. And then fortunately, that was sort of our big break. A year later, we got our agent and we got a contract with HarperCollins. And since then, we've been writing full time. So we... you know, my children are now in college. So they're, you know, I was homeschooling them and then once they went to school is when I got back into writing. So, you know, now pretty much they're up all night and sleeping all day. It gives me the chance, even though they're both home, to focus on my writing. And so Valerie and I spend a lot of time seeing each other on FaceTime or on Zoom and working on our books. But fortunately, you know, I think it's really, it's a big love for both of us. And, couldn't really be happier doing anything else. So we feel very privileged to be able to do it full time.
Mm. And we're very privileged to know that you do it. So to have that work come from this duo. Okay, Lynn, I'm going to throw it to you really quickly. As you know, today we're discussing co-authoring fiction, which is right up y'all's alley. So right away, I'm dying to know, how did you come to decide to write a book together? I know you said you did about 20 years ago, your first project. Which one of you brought it up to the other?
I don't know exactly who brought it up, but what I was working on a thriller for a long time while I was working. And I moved away. Valerie and I are both from Maryland, and we used to both live there. And I moved to Connecticut, gosh, I don't know, 15 years ago, I guess, now at this point, 16 years ago. So I went to a conference called Thriller Fest where and got very inspired and began finishing this thriller that I had worked on years prior. And I said to Valerie at the time, you have to come back to this. You have to come to this conference with me next year. And she said, well, I'm not a thriller writer. And I said, that doesn't matter because it's all about writing and it's, you know, about craft and you'll get a lot out of it, you know, either way. And so when I finished my other book, which now is out under my other pen name, LC Shaw, but it wasn't finished at the time, I started pitching it. And that's when Valerie came with me to Thriller Fest. She got very inspired and she said, why don't we write a book together? again. And so we did. We wrote another book that ended up on the shelf prior to writing Mrs. Parrish. But it just seemed the most natural thing really to come back. We were both at, I think, in a place in our lives where we had the room to do that. And once we did it, it kind of felt like we never stopped, right? I can't even imagine a time now that we, you know, and it's a great way, not only because we love doing it and we've always been very close, but especially being physically separated, you know, this is, it forces us to see each other every day, which is great. I mean, not that we wouldn't, but anytime when we have a break, right, and 2 or 3 days may go by and then I feel like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you forever. So it's really nice when we're in the middle of a project because we spend a lot of time together.
That's true.
So I guess the follow-up question to that naturally is, I didn't even think to ask this in my questions. Do you do this by Zoom or some kind of virtual conference? Is that how you all do this?
Yeah, we do either Facebook. We're doing more Zoom because sometimes Facebook isn't always giving us a clear signal. So we'll do a Zoom meeting. I just have one set up that's repetitive for every day, and we just go back onto that and we talk. Yeah,
really interesting. Okay, so I have more questions, Valerie. Let's go back to you. Most of my listeners will know your book, The Last Mrs. Is it Parrish? Or
Parrish,
which is an amazing book that I heard about personally through a friend and Reese Witherspoon's reading list. But I don't think most people realize that Liv Constantine is a pseudonym for two writerly sisters. So once you decided to write together, how did you decide to write under this one name, and how did that happen?
You know, as I said earlier, and Lynn said, we collaborated over 20 years ago on a book. The title of that book is Circle Dance, and we had both of our names on it. So as the author listing underneath was Lynn Constantine, Valerie Constantine. And we just assumed when we had the contract from HarperCollins for Mrs. Parrish to be published, we just assumed that that's exactly what would happen. Mm-hmm. So we were sitting at lunch actually with our agent and the editor, our editor from Harper, and talking about just that thing. How are we going, what is the author name going to say? Mm-hmm. And we said, well, it's going to say Lynn Constantine, Valerie Constantine. And they said, well, it's so long. You really, mm-hmm. you aren't known, first mm-hmm. of all. So the names are not recognizable. It's a lot to have on the cover and it can be confusing to people. So we don't really think that that's going to work. And so we said, well, how about we take our initials and we make it LV and Constantine. And then one of them said, well, you know, that's so something that's happened so frequently now, and there's sort of initial fatigue, which I thought was a very clever little phrase.
Yeah, that they right. came
on. Initial fatigue. And so we sort of just all looked at each other, and then I said, well, how about if we just put a vowel in between the two initials and make it Liv? And sort of everyone at that point sat up and said, yeah, I think that's it, Liv Constantine. And so that's how that came to be.
That's a really, really entertaining story. I love it. And what'd you say, initial fatigue?
Initial fatigue.
I feel that and use that.
A good one, isn't it? Yes.
Okay, so Lynn, I have tried co-authoring a novel before with someone that I absolutely adore and who actually writes as good, if not way better than me. But early on, we kind of realized that our friendship was a little more important than any potential conflicts that may arise. How did two sisters manage to write a book together civilly, let alone having that book become such a massive success without egos getting in the way?
Well, very delicately. I mean, I think, in the beginning, we sort of were both in agreement about a lot of things. And for the most part, we are. There was only one occasion, I think, where we actually had an argument. And that mm-hmm. was we were trying to figure out, it was our second book, which the sophomore book is very difficult. Most authors will tell you. And we had a different opinion on where it was going to go. And so we were getting advice from other people in our lives, and there were too many other voices coming in, and we sort of got into this argument about it. I think it was the first argument we ever had in our whole lives. Right, Valerie? I mean, mm-hmm.
sisters, that's saying.
Yeah, well, we just have always gotten along. And so we both kind of hung up, and I don't know, 20 minutes later, I think I've like tearfully texted, I'm sorry, you know, for losing my temper. And she did the same thing. And we realized that what we needed to do was just have some ground rules to just say, here's when we're working on something, you know, it's just us, unless we're not going to solicit other people's opinions, unless we both agree. And we're also going to be very polite, we're, you know, and listen to each other. So even if we have an idea, we understand that a lot of times the craziest sounding ideas later turn out to be what we use. So we both kind of adopt that, you know, that brainstorming rule where there are no bad ideas. We just do that. And we're very considerate of the way that we give feedback. So, you know, neither of us, I mean, I know other co-authors who will say, oh, that's horrible. Or we just make sure we don't do that. And because of our relationship, of course, is paramount. And that's much more important ever than the collaboration. And so fortunately, you know, after that, we've been fine. I mean, there, of course, are times, excuse me, when we're tired or we're editing and one of us might be a little grumpy and, you know, you can feel a little bit of the tension. And we just, the other one usually is in a place where she can bite her tongue, and then it's just kind of, right. I mean, it's
four tongues right about.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
But we know each other so well also that, you know, we can sort of read each other. And I think
Good. We've
gotten into a groove. So fortunately it works out fine.
Yeah. That's really good. I come from a family of writers. My mother's a writer. My sister's a writer. And ever since I've learned about the two of you, I'm like, maybe I'll try it with my sister next. And I'm like, oh, that's copy and live. I ain't going to do that.
Well, no.
So, well, she writes children's books. I write adult. I don't think that would work. But I have always been very intrigued by the idea. And I asked this question specifically because I know a lot of my clients and even some followers and authors that work with my business ask that. They ask about how in the world I want to co-author a book, but how does that work? And I'm like, I don't know. We'll ask experts. So before we get into the more meat of how to write it, how to do it together, I have to take a quick break so we can hear from our sponsor, and I'll be back in just a second. In the intro to this episode, I mentioned my work with successful best-selling author, Casey Dunn, who, after working with me as her author coach and editor, was able to land a literary agent and a book deal all within 6 months after we finished her book project. This process typically takes, by the way, much longer, but Casey's book was so hot, she had offers coming at her left and right from agents only a week or two after she started querying. And by the way, again, the book is called Silence on Cold River. Now, Casey is responsible for her own success, of course. I never take credit for how well my clients do after working with me. However, I absolutely can and will brag about the fact that I was lucky enough to be their editor or their coach or both, and that I at least had a small hand in their success. And I like to think that might not have had the opportunity had they made the wrong choice when seeking an editor and a coach. Because guys, there's so many people out there who wear the label editor or coach, you just got to be careful. But guess what? Casey is not my only success story. In fact, if you visit our website, which I hope by the time you hear this is no longer under construction, you can read all about all the success stories of authors who have worked with Write Your Best Book for editing or with me individually for author coaching. In the past year alone, I've had several clients go on to be bestsellers, award winners, and to secure agents and traditional publishing deals for the first time in their writing career. Again, their writing and their books are what got them where they are. Can't stress that enough. They did all the hard work and the heavy lifting, but hiring a good professional and quality author, coach, and editor for your book project can make all the difference in a great book and a successful book. If you're interested in taking your writing and your career to the next level, and you'd like to know more about working with a skilled and experienced author coach, please reach out and schedule your free 30-minute consultation with yours truly. You can do this by visiting the Contact Us page on our website or by clicking the show notes inside the episode. With just one click, you can set your consultation at your convenience, and within minutes, you'll receive an email confirmation with a Zoom link and all you need to know to prepare for your call. Well, I hope to hear from you very soon. Now let's get back to my conversation with Lynn and Valerie. Okay, so we are back with Lynn and Valerie, the Riley sister duo behind the massive hit, The Last Mrs. Parrish, and their two other novels. And we're here today talking about how to co-author fiction. So we started out kind of with the how's this get started? How did you get there kind of questions. Now let's get into the meat of the issue here. Let's go with Valerie. So with your latest novel, The Wife Stalker, how did you land on the concept? Like, did one of you have the basic idea and then you hashed out the details together? Let's just peek behind the curtain a little bit on the creative process as much as you'll allow us to.
Okay, that's great. You know, it often starts with just a sentence, a kernel of an idea. So for The Wife Stalker, Lynn said, well, what if we have a wife? And I said, who is, and I can't really, without spoil, giving a spoiler,
right, right. Don't do that.
What it is.
Don't spoil it for me either. I almost have words.
You know, and then, and as I said, it's just a kernel of an idea. Yeah. It starts from there and we just begin to develop it. And it takes time. And you know how you can have a conversation and then the next day you think to yourself, I wish I had said blah, blah, blah. And you know, why didn't I think of that? And you can't go back and redo a conversation or change it. But with an idea and of the beginning of a story, you can keep going back and perfecting it and fine tuning it. And so that's really what happens. So we talk about it and talk about it for, I mean, sometimes it could take weeks. Often it's sometimes actually, which is the case right now that we're working on, we go back to a story that we had posited at one point and then maybe dropped because it was like, I don't know, it doesn't really work. And then reimagine it and make it the beginning of a new story, which is an interesting thing to do. But it always starts that way with just this little, like, oh, this might be interesting. And this could be an interesting twist. And then it just starts with this back and forth. And that is one of the things when so many people say, gosh, how do you co-author? That's one of the great advantages of co-authoring, because you can just knock these ideas around and you have somebody to bounce things off of.
Oh.
And so one of us will say, well, how about if blah, blah, blah? And then the other one says, well, and yeah, but then what if we did blah, blah, blah? And so you sort of build with each other. And that is a huge, huge advantage of working together, in my opinion. Wouldn't you say, Lynn?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's when I, as I said, I write a few things solo under Elsie Shaw. And when I'm writing those, I want to call Valerie when I'm stuck and say, can we go, you know, it's a big difference. And I definitely think just the two heads are better than one, you know, it really is true, because I don't know that the stories that we write would get to the level that they do if we didn't have each other to do that. And because we always ratchet it up and often, and we go through, right, the last book or fifth book that we just finished, we went through four drafts, right? And there were things even on the fourth time that would be, and because you have two different people looking at it, but yet who are so intimately familiar with it, that one thing will strike one or and then the other, and the combination really fine tunes it into what it should be. So it's a, it's a great process, I think.
And you know, that happens in the editing too, which is such a tedious process. I think every writer would say that that's really one of the most difficult periods of the manuscript, of the product. And so as Lynn said, you know, one of us will think of an idea that the other didn't, or look at something contextual that one or the other missed. And it's the same thing with editing. It's amazing that you can both go through a manuscript and each come up with different things that you've found that need to be altered. Yeah. So that is a huge advantage.
I could see where that would be an advantage, because I mean, even just because I've been a book editor and author coach for
gosh, over 10 years now. And it, even in that process, working with clients, I see things they never thought of. And even they'll see things that in my editing, they're like, but wait, no, this.
Right.
I can see where the collaboration, I can see the benefit, definitely. All right, so who wants to take this one? Because we're going to dig a little bit deeper still. So let's talk characters. All right. No, before we talk characters, let's talk about outlining and plotting, because we've talked about ideas. Now you've got the nugget, right? And you've kind of fleshed that out. Now, do you all use an outline when you're working together or any kind of plotting method that you share between the two of you? Or is there even a better way to write with a co-author?
We call ourselves planters. So we're sort of a little bit of a plotter, a little bit by the seat of our pants. And every book is different. But and our process has evolved. We've never been strict outliners. We typically, we usually begin with the twist. That is how we start our books. We know what that twist is going to be. And we used to know the ending, and now we don't. Now we'll say, what's going to happen to this person? And we're like, I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. So we really try to make our books character driven, aside from the plot, obviously, or the twist more so than the plot. And then we really spend a lot of time developing those characters, getting to know them, and letting them drive the story. And that's how it develops. So we kind of know maybe two or three chapters ahead at a time of where we're going. And that's how we, every day we'll talk about, okay, this is what we're writing next, who wants to write it. But we also give each other the freedom while we're writing to veer off in a different direction. So even if the plan was for somebody to do A, and if I'm writing it and I say, look, she's going to do Z, I do it. And then I send it to Valerie, and same thing for her. And because we know that we can always change it, we can always edit it, but what we don't want to do is be constricted by a narrow outline or what we thought. And so that's how we go along. But as we share these every day and we speak every day, so it's not like we're going to write 100 pages and go completely off, right? And that's how we go all the way through until we finish the book. And then again, we go through a massive amount of developmental editing before we even get to copy editing, you know, and then of course it goes off to our editor and a whole nother set of starts over again, right?
All right. That's so interesting. So I've always said, I've never used that term and I won't steal it from you. Would you say you're a
planters.
I just say I'm somewhere in between, but that's pretty clever. I like that. Okay. So back to what I almost got into a second ago, characters. Let's go with Valerie. In The Wife Stalker, did you both collaborate with each other as you're developing these characters, or did you split them up and say, like, one of us is going to do Piper, the other's going to do Leo, and so on? What'd you do about that?
You mean in terms of actually writing each character?
Yeah, as far as developing. Well, I just
we definitely develop the characters together, because of course we each have to know the character intimately. No matter whose voice we're writing in, they're interacting with the characters. Yeah. So you have to know the characters extremely well. And we spend a lot of time before we begin writing, developing our characters. Mm-hmm. We take usually one character at a time and go all the way. The name, you know, just starting with the name is huge. And that can go back and forth. We have copies on our texting of, you know, like one of us will text.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll text the names of
characters? How about Jeremy? No, I don't like that name. How about blah, blah, blah? Well, that name sounds too whatever. And that can go back and forth. And here's
the thing. Or we have a cousin with that name. We can't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Or, you know, well, my friend has a little boy with that name or whatever. So-and-so will think we're talking about them. And especially with the characters who aren't the most wonderful characters, you have to really be careful, right, with the names. Names really are, you know, people say that people live up to their names, or that your name can really affect your personality or who, and I don't know if that's true or not, but I definitely think that when we are going back and forth with the names, all of a sudden we'll both say, that's the name. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that happens, but you just sort of know when the name fits the character. And then we just go through the whole thing. Where do they go to college? What do they study? What do they read? All of those things, so that we know them. But just as when you're getting to know somebody who might be a potential friend, mm-hmm. as that relationship grows and you're with the person more, you learn more about the person. So our characters change too. And we allow them to do that as we're writing, because we get to know them better as the story begins to unfold. So that's always an interesting, and I think that when writers say, oh, well, the character went off in this direction. And I think that's what that means, is that you have come to know that character better.
I think so too. Cause I used to always wonder, like before I really got into writing, especially coaching, I'm like, what do people mean when they say my character told me they wanted to do this?
Right.
I get that. But I do. I think you're right. That's probably more what they mean is the character developed. They got to know them better.
Yeah.
Lynn, do you want to tackle how you actually do the actual writing of the different characters? Do you all alternate POV? Like I'll take Piper, you'll take Leo, or how does that work?
We don't. We write by scene, not character. Okay. And when we wrote The Last Mrs. Parrish, we did focus more each on characters, but we found that it made more sense really to just both write from every character. So it doesn't matter. Like we have a new book coming out in July, The Stranger in the Mirror. And we have three points of view in that, right?
Four. I think we have Julian,
Blythe and Addison. I think just the three.
Oh yeah, just three. It was the net last one.
Yeah, we have to keep.
There's that one that's
right. Right. So yeah. So it's just like, okay, what scene do you want to write? And so we write from every point of view, from every scene. And I think that helps. It definitely. We find that has just been a better way to work at this point, and to make and to ensure that we really fully know every character.
I would say in any writing duo, sister or not, that you have to find what works for the duo. Like
exactly.
Maybe it would work for one other couple to do it. Cause when I tried to do it with a friend of mine, we were like, okay, you take this POV and I'll take this POV. And it worked okay. But I guess, you know, I could see where you probably have to, if I'm right, have to find out what works, what get in a groove for the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever works.
Well, yeah. And I think as we wrote, you know, as the writing experiment progressed, mm-hmm. and we wrote more and more, mm-hmm. then our writing meshed more.
Yeah, fine-tuned the process a little bit.
So it was possible to do that then. Well, because Lynn will start a chapter and send it to me and I'll finish it, and vice versa. And it feels like you really can't tell whose voice it is.
Oh, I like I told you, I did not know for a good year that Liv Constantine was two writers. So you've really pulled it off. I mean, you've really done a brilliant job at doing that. So, all right. Well, as much as I hate to wrap it up, I've got just a couple little things. Any parting advice that you would like to offer me, I'll take it, or any of my listeners who are considering co-authoring a book in the future?
I think probably the biggest thing is to make sure that you both understand what your goals and objectives are, and that you agree on some ground rules. Like I said, aside from just making sure that we are polite with each other, we also know that if we set a time, you know, we honor that time. We are on the same page when we begin a project to say, okay, how's this, you know, we put a schedule together, how does this look, so that we're both keeping deadlines. And I think the clearer your expectations are, then the easier it is to not have issues down the road in the partnership. Wouldn't you?
I would totally agree. Yes. I mean, we have a word count that we expect from each other daily. And we have both agreed on ahead of time. And so that at the end of the week, we have each completed however many words that we have said. So, you know, it does. If I don't do all of them on Wednesday, then on Thursday, I make up for it.
Gotta make up for it. Right.
Right. I think that's really important, so that one doesn't feel like they're doing more work than the other one.
Yeah. Just doing,
you know,
I can see
as Lynn said, you know, we schedule that is in my daily calendar, the time that we are going to speak each day. And that can be, you know, it isn't like, oh, well, we're going to speak at 11 o'clock every day. We take into consideration our calendars and, you know, appointments that we might have, et cetera. Although now seems we're pretty much
very productive. Yeah. So 2020.
What do you do when you're nearing the end of a project and you're getting close to, like, I don't know if you all have work against deadlines, but I'd say that probably towards the end of your project, you get a little more involved, I would think. A little busier.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Toward the end, I
don't know if you feel that pressure sometimes that some like traditionally published authors, and I know I've felt it before in the past when I was traditionally published, that pressure of a deadline can sometimes
add
a little bit of stress.
We're usually ahead of deadlines. I will say that we are. I would say there's only one time. Right. This time recently where we were both like, oh my gosh, it's due next Wednesday. We're literally thinking.
Yeah.
And we did get it in on time. But for the most part, we're a week or two ahead of deadlines always.
Well, it sounds to me like the theme of the day is respecting one another and their time and their ideas and basically respecting the process. Yeah. So it sounds like that's what we need to do it. All right. Well, before, I really had a great time talking with you ladies. And if I didn't have a time limit, I'd talk all day and I would take up all your day, but I'm not going to do that. Tell us where and when we can get a copy of The Wife Stalker. And you also mentioned your other book coming out, your fourth book, I believe you said. And yes. If you want, where we can follow you on social, newsletters, whatever you want us to know.
Sure. Well, The Wife Stalker is out now. It's actually coming out in paperback on January 26th. So for those who are paperback fans, but the hardcover and Kindle and audiobook are available online in all stores. And then The Stranger in the Mirror is coming out July 6th. And that will be everywhere. And you can see everything on our website, livconstantine.com. And we're on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and the handle on Instagram and Twitter is Liv Constantine too. But again, even if you go to our website, you can find, you know, all of that on there, as well as links to buy the books. And we have a YouTube channel too that has some author interviews on there. So if anyone's interested
ladies, send me that link. And what I'm going to do is for everybody who's listening, the links that they just mentioned will be in the show notes. And if you ladies would send me that YouTube link, I'll include that as well.
Absolutely. I will send it to you. Thanks for having us.
And there also is an Audible prequel. There's an Audible.
Oh, right. How did I forget that? Yes. Called The First Shot. And it's a prequel to The Last Mrs. Parrish, right?
It's available now?
It's available now. And if you're an Audible member, it's free because it's in the Plus catalog. And you can download it and you can see what Amber was up to before she moved to Bishop's Harbor.
All about Amber.
I'm glad that you remembered that right then at the last second. I'm going to go right now on my lunch break and look it up. Okay, ladies, thank you. It's been a pleasure and honor. And
you as well. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you so much for sharing your time.
Yeah.
Thank you
so much. Great to meet you.
Well, now that discussion was not only helpful, it was entertaining and interesting, don't you think? Be sure to support these ladies and make sure you visit their website, which is in the show notes for this episode. And if you missed any of their books, I don't know how, but if you have, go now to Amazon or your local bookstore where you can get them and pick up every one of them now. Trust me, you'll be so glad you did. I just love hearing about authors, especially those who are way more successful than me, talk about their process, their craft, etc. And that is the whole focus of this season of Write Your Best Book, the podcast. All year, we're bringing on new successful authors each week to discuss either things that they struggle with and overcame to become successful, or the one thing that they're naturally gifted at, so we can learn from the best of the best. You don't want to miss a single episode of Write Your Best Book Season 2, trust me. Especially since, guys, the names just keep getting bigger as the season progresses. So be sure to hit that subscribe button so you are notified each time a new episode goes live. And if you love what we bring you on this podcast each week, please be a dear and leave a rating and review. This helps us stay in your line of sight, and it also helps authors find our show easier. Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks.
Be sure to tune in next week as I sit down with yet another successful author to discuss their craft so we can learn a thing or two from those who've accomplished what we've only dreamed of so far. Talk soon, and in the meantime, go write your best book. This is what you've been waiting for.